Welcome to This Is That, where the Word of God comes to life. Here, we take on everyday questions faced by believers and converts, and we dig through the Word of God where similar situations have occurred, and we break it down on how these Bible principles and doctrines can be applied in our daily life situations. And it is our intention and prayer that this fellowship will encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with God. And as our commitment to advance God's kingdom to every culture and nation, we appreciate it very much if you would hit that like button and to share and to subscribe to our channel. This is That, moving the apostolic on your favorite podcast and on YouTube, Call to Ministry. This is That segment. And every time you click on the like button, the more we get advertised out there. And the more we get advertised, the more we are able to reach people. And so before we start, just a couple of shout-outs to our friends at the Uplift Podcast with Brother Nathan Beeler, the Steadfast Devotion Podcast with Brother Trey and Brother Calvin, and to the Search for Truth Podcast with Pastor Young. And so, without much ado, let's get to the table with your host, and let's get digging.
Praise God. Welcome to another episode of This Is That. And as you can see tonight, I am by myself. And no, my brothers did not abandon me. It's almost a week of Thanksgiving, and I kind of told them to be with their loved ones, to be with their families, and so you're stuck with me in this episode. And in this episode, I am going to be sharing with you examples from the Bible, what happened to the children of Israel, and how come not all of those who came out from Egypt entered into the Promised Land. And if you have your Bibles, stay with me in the book of Numbers. And we start in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And so let me give you a background on what happened leading up to Numbers, chapter 13. So you remember in the book of Exodus, when God brought out the children of Israel out of Egypt, He called Moses to deliver His people out of Egypt. And so God delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh. He became a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night unto them. And so when they crossed the Red Sea, God brought them to the wilderness. But the people had this mentality in them that you brought us out. Now you have got to provide for us. Now you have got to feed us. That was the mentality of the people that got out of Egypt. And so they were so dependent on Moses. And so every time that they don't have any food to eat, they would cry unto Moses. And every time they don't have any water to drink, they would cry unto Moses and say, why did you bring us here in the wilderness? Why did you bring us here in the desert? Did you bring us here to die? Well, it was better if we stayed in Egypt. At least we're eating food in Egypt. So that was kind of like almost always, that was their complaint to their leader, to Moses. And so the plan was always for God to bring them out of Egypt and bring them to their promised land. But leading up to Numbers chapter 13, God was leading them towards their promised land. But then at the boundary of the promised land and the wilderness of Paran, God decided for the children of Israel to camp in the wilderness of Paran, specifically in the boundary of Kadesh Barnea. And so what is Kadesh Barnea? This is the boundary between the promised land and the wilderness. And so why did God bring them over there? God didn't allow them to cross over their promised land, not yet. But God encamped them in that place so He could see where their heart is. So in Numbers chapter 13, if you read in verse 1 and verse 2, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And to paraphrase what we just read, Moses was told to pick a representative from each of the tribe of Israel. But Moses didn't just choose a regular man. But the men that were represented from each tribe of Israel, they were mighty men. They were men who those people would trust. They were the men who those people would look up unto. So these were no ordinary men. These men that Moses chose, the people believed on them. The people trusted them. And so as we jump from Numbers chapter 13 to verse 17, it would say, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountains and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many, or what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds." And we can read through and we would know exactly what they did. But to cut the story short, Moses obeyed what God commanded him to do. He chose the people and he told them what God told him to do, to spy out the land. And so what happened was this: 12 spies went to the land for 40 days. They dwelled in the land, they searched the land. Believe me, they ate in the land, they partook of the fruits of the land. They really saw that the land was flowing with milk and honey. And when they were about to return to the children of Israel, they brought with them fruits of the land. One fruit that stood out was when they took one cluster of grapes, it was said that two men carried them with a pole. That just shows how productive the land really is. And even in the conversations, even when they returned back to the people, these men told the people, "Truly, the land is flowing with milk and honey." They agreed with what God has told them, that the land truly is flowing with milk and honey. But then they added something that they should not have added. They added an evil report. And so what was that evil report? Let's read about it in Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 26. "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Say, here is the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And so there you go. They agreed with what was told them, that the land was flowing with milk and honey. But they added something that they should not have added. In verse 28, it says, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And so what they were saying was, well, the land truly is flowing with milk and honey. But look, we saw people over there. We saw the inhabitants over there. We saw their houses and they got walls. We saw the people and they were giants. We saw these Amalekites. We saw these Hittites, these Amorites, and they're big. But Caleb, one of the 12 spies, steeled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are great men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." And so what was going on in here was that, yes, they saw the fruits, they partake of it, they ate of the fruit of the land. But instead of focusing on the fruit, instead of focusing on what the land brings, they focused on the negative side. They focused on the struggles that they are going to face ahead. They were more focused on the work that needs to be done. And that is the case sometimes with us. You see, God gave us promises, and it's contained here in the Bible. And his promise is not just for today, but his promise is eternal. His promise is not just for this time or this hour, but when he says a promise, there is no expiration date for his promise. But just as the children of Israel focused on the giants, We sometimes in our lives, even though we read, even though we hear our pastors speak about the promises, we tend to stay where we are. We tend to have doubts in our lives. We tend to say, well, maybe so, but I know where I am and I just don't know if that is for me. You see, what's really going on is, it's not that we are afraid of the giants. It's not that we are afraid to take on the promises of God. But sometimes inside of us, we are not willing to do the work. We are not willing to commit to a work. We are not willing to get out of our comfort zones and pursue what God has promised. Why? Because we have plans. We have things that we want to accomplish. And if we pursue the promises of God, then we know in our minds that we are going to. We have to live our plans. We have to let go of the things that we want. And we have to conform to what God wants us to do. And because of that, we stay where we are. Because of that, we will not be able to move forward to where we are. Not because we're afraid of the promises, but sometimes it's in us. We are not willing to put on the work. You see, the 10 leaders who brought the evil report to the children of Israel, they saw what God can do. They saw how God delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh, and they saw how God parted the Red Sea for them. They saw the miracles of God. Don't tell me that they didn't see it. They witnessed it firsthand, and they know what God can do. But then, as I said earlier, they were not willing to fight for their land. They were not willing to lift up their swords for their land. They had this feeling of welfare mentality. Well, you brought us out of this land and you take care of that for us. Well, you brought me to the church. Well, you said that God is going to do this for me. Then what is going on? Why am I not receiving the blessings of God? Well, the blessings of God are there. But we have to get out. We have to reach for it. We have to walk for it. We have to want it ourselves. We have to move out of our comfort zones and take it for ourselves. You see, the promises of God are here. It's real. But we have to walk towards that promise. And so as we go back to the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 14. And so what was going on was, when the people heard this evil report from these 12 men, from these 12 leaders, they believed those 10 leaders. They believed their evil report. And so you say, so what does that have to do with me living here in 2021? You see, the Bible speaks of the things that we need to do. And in the New Testament, there are red letter words. And if you know red letter prints, those are the words that Jesus spoke. But then we come here to the world and we go to visit church, we go to visit denominations, we go to visit organizations, and we believe what their leader tells us. And yet, if we read the Bible, we do not see what those leaders stand for. They were not written in the Bible. And when you present to them the truth, and when you present to them, here, this is what the Bible says, they would say, oh no, but that's not what my pastor says. And so my question is, you believe your pastor over the Word of God? And if you do that, you are kind of like those children of Israel who would rather believe the evil report from these 10 spies rather than what God has told them. Because God told them, this land is yours. But the 10 leaders told the people, we are not able to take it. Why? Because there are giants over there. And so as we move forward, Numbers chapter 14, people kept complaining to Moses. There was a time when Joshua said, well, but we are able to take it. People were almost about to pick up stones and stone Joshua and stone Moses and Caleb and those that say we are about to take the land. And so in verse 11, we can read that the Lord was displeased with the people. And this is what God said. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And so just as we have read, God spoke to Moses and saying, what are these people doing? I'm just going to paraphrase. What are these people doing? Why are they not believing me? After all the miracles, after all the signs that I've showed them, they still would not believe my words. And God said, I am going to smite these people with pestilence. I'm going to destroy them. And they are not going to be enter into the promised land. And Moses, as a true leader, stood in with God and said, Lord God, if you do this, then all the nations would laugh at us. Because they would say, well, because God was not able to bring them to the promised land, that he killed them in the desert. And so Moses pleaded with God. He cried to God. And God had mercy. And in verse 19, we can read part of what Moses said unto the Lord and said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whither he went, and his seed shall possess it. And so here we can read that God responded to the prayer, to the pleading of Moses. But God said, I will pardon the people. But those men who have seen the miracles that I performed in Egypt and the miracles that I performed in the wilderness, and yet they believed not on me, they will not enter into the promised land. They will die in the wilderness. But only those who believed, taking the example of Caleb and Joshua, will enter into the promised land. And their seeds will enter into the promised land. And so what am I trying to say in here? Well, you see, God has given us all these promises. And in this time of hour, we are without excuse. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect this so great a salvation that is presented to us? See, we are without excuse. Maybe in the olden times, they can have an excuse because they can say, well, nobody ever really preached to us. Nobody told us about the Bible or about Jesus. But now, especially in the time of internet, YouTube and other media devices, we don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse and say, well, nobody really talked to me about Jesus, talked to me about God. My friends, we are without excuse. And if those in the generation that were in the wilderness, those that saw the miracles of God, those that saw God moving in their lives, and yet they did not believe, died in the wilderness, they did not enter into the promised land, how much more for you and I? Right now, we're seeing a lot of miracles. We read a lot of miracles. Are we going to be guiltless? No, but we are going to be responsible. We are going to give an account for every word, every preaching, every teaching, every article that we have read about the Lord and about Jesus. We are without excuse. In Acts chapter 17, we can read of the accounts of Paul, who went to Athens to spread the gospel. In Athens, he saw the devotions and how the people worship their gods over there. And he saw this place with the names of their gods. And on top of that place, there is a blank space. And it's written, to the unknown God. And Paul talked to them about that unknown God. He talked to them about Jesus. He talked to them that he is the Son of God, that he came in flesh, and that he died for our sins, and that he rose again the third day. But then the people of Athens mocked at him. Some believed, but most of them mocked at him. And in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 29, this is what Paul told the people. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art of man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I want to point out to you verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He was simply telling them, it might be in the olden times that God winked at the ignorance. What ignorance? That they did not know God. But now that Jesus Christ died and rose again the third day, we have no excuse. That was what Paul was trying to emphasize to them. And so my question for us is that, what are the things that is weighing us down? What are the things that we're keeping to ourselves? What are the things that we're still hanging on and holding on that prevents us from fully accepting and fully submitting to the Word of God? You see, there's no such thing as half-breed Christians. You are either a Christian or not. You are either a follower of God or not. And if you're a follower, believe everything that is written in the Word of God. We cannot just take a portion and say, this is what I believe. And we cannot take a portion and say, with that portion, I disagree. It's either you believe or you don't believe. And I come to present to you these things because I care for you. I do not want you to have regrets in your life. I don't want you to say, what could have happened had I submitted fully to the Word of God? For we are living in the last of the last days. We don't know when the trumpet is going to sound, but it says it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. And just as the days in the days of Noah, they did not know when the floods came. They only know when it was too late. They only know that the floods are here when the waters started to rise and the rains from heaven, water from heaven started to fall. And then they believed. But then it was too late. The ark was already shut. And so, what are we keeping to ourselves? What are we hanging on that's preventing us from fully submitting ourselves to the Word of God? The Bible says to lay aside every weight that easily besets us. What is weighing you down from moving forward to your promise? Is it your traditions? Is it the culture that we grew up in? Well, we cannot say, Lord God, that is what my mom taught me. Or, well, we cannot say, well, that is what my grandfather taught me. We are going to be accountable to the Word of God. We are going to be judged according to the Word of God. For God has already given us a promise of eternal life. But if we do not conform ourselves and pursue it fully, then we are going to be in danger of being left behind. And I don't want you to be left behind. I want you to experience the full promises of God. But we cannot live for God halfway. For Revelations, it teaches us that God will spew us out of His mouth because we are neither hot nor cold. But because we are lukewarm, He will spew us out. And so, I encourage you, do not be lukewarm in your faith. If you are a Christian, live the life of a Christian. If you have not yet decided, now is the time. Now is the time to make the decision. It's not tomorrow, but now. For we do not know our future. We do not know the times. And so, if ever you have the opportunity, do it right now. It starts with repentance. It starts by saying, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I know I am in need of something. I don't want to live the same way that I'm living, but I want to pursue something greater. Starts with repentance. Starts by realizing that we cannot save ourselves. Acts chapter 2 and 38. Peter, after he preached Jesus, the people were pricked in their hearts and said, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that for debate? No, it's not. It is written, they practiced it, and we too must practice it. Jesus, in John chapter 3, verse 3, told Nicodemus, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, Lord, how can I be born again? Can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? In John chapter 3, verse 5, he told us specifically how it is to be born again. To be born of the water and of the Spirit. Is that for debate? Nope, it's not. For they are the words of Jesus himself. And if we believe the words of men rather than the word of Jesus, then we are in danger of missing out on what God has promised unto us. Do not be like the children of Israel who murmured against Moses, who had doubt and unbelief, and who would not believe in the promises of God. They didn't want to obey. And what happened to them? They died in the wilderness. They did not enter into the promised land. And so, my friends, be not just listener of the word, but be doers of the word. For faith without works is dead. We have to show our faith. We have to show that we believe in God by obeying what God has told us. And I end with this. People say we are saved by grace. And yes, we are going to be saved by grace. But people misquote it. The Bible says we are going to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so I hope and I pray that you make the right decision. The decision to live and abide by the word of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord God, for allowing us, Lord Jesus, this opportunity and this time. And Lord God, I pray that everyone that watches this episode, that listens to this episode, Lord God, would be pricked in their hearts, Lord Jesus, just as those were pricked, Lord God, in the day of Pentecost, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray that your word, Lord Jesus, would be rooted in our hearts, in our lives, Lord God, that the truth, Lord God, would prevail. And that truth is, Lord Jesus, we are not going to be listening to other voices except your voice, O Lord God. And you have given us a way of escape, O Lord Jesus. But if we neglect, O Lord God, this great salvation, how, O Lord Jesus, are we going to escape? I pray, O Lord God, that you give us wisdom and understanding. Open, O Lord God, our understanding, that we would understand the truth of thy word, O Lord God, that we would not be swayed, O Lord Jesus, by smooth sayings, by smooth sermons, O Lord God, but we, O Lord God, would be rooted in truth of your word. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone right now who is in need, O Lord God, of healing, who is in need, O Lord God, of encouragement, O Lord God, and in need of refreshing. They do not know, O Lord Jesus, where to go to, O Lord God. I pray that you'd meet them, O Lord God, where they are right now. If there's pain in their bodies, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd touch and lift up those pains. And Lord Jesus, as we, O Lord God, walk, O Lord God, towards you, thy word, O God, be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I hope that this episode has light a fire in you and gave you encouragement to continue to pursue the truth of God's word. And so until the next time we see each other again, God bless you all. And always remember that this is that. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go, my friends. We hope that you were blessed by the sharing of the word. And we pray that God would continue to bless you and guide you as we journey together towards the calling wherewith we were all called. And we hope you enjoyed our table talk, and please don't forget to click on that like button, to share, to subscribe to This Is That in your favorite podcast. And also find us on YouTube at Call to Ministry. Just click on This Is That video link. Until we meet again, continue to stay strong in the Lord, and as we continue to move together in the apostolic, always remember that This Is That. God bless you all.